Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to ask a question and give a title that's a little bit long, but I'm going to do it anyway, because we've got some people that are well capable of writing. But the question is a very simple one. Who do you think you are? That's a thought-provoking question, isn't it?
Child of the King.
Once upon a time, there was a king, and he ruled over his land, and he was a good king. He was a loving king. He cared about his people. But in that kingdom, living in that city, were three boys, young men, orphans, and they had a hard life. They had been taken in by a guy who really was teaching them how to be good criminals, and providing for them and giving them fun, at the same time teaching them to go out and steal for him and commit other acts that weren't right. But one day the king was walking through the streets of the city, and he encountered those boys, and something in his heart just went out to them. And so he told them, he said, I want to make you part of my family. I don't want you to have to live on the street anymore. If you come and be my sons, I'll take care of all of the debts that you owe. I'll take care of everything from your past, and you'll be my sons from that point on. Well, two of the boys agreed, and they were brought into the castle, and their old dirty clothes were put away, and they were given clean clothes and introduced to the family. One of them said, "No, I'm good. I like my life. It's too much. This fun that I'm having, and it just feels right for me to stay where I'm at." Well, one of the boys really took to it, if you want to put it that way. Immediately, obviously, he had an old life to lose, didn't he? To forget about and to learn. He didn't know what it meant to be part of the royal family and how to act and what to do and what his responsibilities were. But he went right to work learning. And they gave him training, and he just adapted to it and began to take on the role that had been designed for him. But the other boy didn't have as much of a didn't have it as easy a time of it. And part of him kept remembering his old life, and he would sometimes wander around the city, and he would feel he would remember what it was like to do this and the fun that it was doing that, and just remember his old life. And somehow it was just hard to totally, is this real? Could I possibly actually be part of the royal family? That doesn't make any sense to me. And then sometimes, oh yeah, he'd be assured that he was, but he was kind of still in that in-between state, in a sense. And then, of course, periodically he'd run into his old friend, and they would talk about things, and he'd tell them about life in the castle, and the other guy would talk about what he was doing. But the other guy would like to, talk about, "Boy, you're living a fantasy, aren't you? You think you're a son of the king? Give me a break. I remember the stuff we used to do. How could somebody like you ever be that?" And just bringing up the past and reminding him, and, if you're a child of the king, why do you still even want to come out here? And on and on and on. So I think it's pretty easy to see what the point of this little story is. Because if we're either children of the king or we're not. There really isn't any in between. But I wonder how many of us are living more like that second boy than the first one. And maybe the Lord wants to get my attention and all of our attention to help understand. You know, my mind has gone to Ephesians an awful lot lately. I guess a lot of the thoughts, they really were strong with me last week, and then, you know, I felt like the Lord led in another direction. And very much these thoughts are in harmony with this unseen war that we're learning about in greater depth. But so much rides on the difference between the first boy and the second, doesn't it? And of course the question is, which one are you? Which one am I? Paul, of course, just to very quickly get to the point where my point, I'm going to chapter 4, but just to get to that point again, to whom was Paul writing? They were believers, but how did he address them? Over and over and over again, God's holy people, you were chosen, you were loved, you were forgiven, and on with this, you've been sealed by his Spirit, you're his, your destiny's been set, all these wonderful things, you are no longer what you were. So that this is what they were. This was the present tense that he was addressing. This isn't you might be if. This is what you are. You get the difference. Okay? And so we've often read the passage in chapter 2 that begins with a description not of what you are, but what you were, or what we were, because he includes himself, and how we were part of the world system. We lived under the power of darkness, and we acted like them. We were children of wrath. We weren't children of the King. We were children of wrath. That's really the only. Those are really the only two categories that there are. There really isn't that middle category, and yet, in a practical sense, I think most believers find themselves almost more there than not. And I believe. Do you believe that God wants us to understand more who we are and actually be that? Yeah, that's kind of important, because you can tell a Christian all about what he's supposed to do, but it takes more than that. And so there are so many scriptures that we know now, you know, now to him, the chapter 3, you know, kind of ends Paul's presentation of who we are and what Christ has done and how we got to this position of being children of the King. We certainly didn't earn it, certainly didn't deserve it, wouldn't work, wasn't even looking for it. We're not even looking for it. Excuse me, I only stutter when I talk. But anyway, here we are, and God's done this. He's the one who's made this happen. And he's the one who is making it work out, because chapter 3 ends with, now to him, who is able, because I'm not, him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, how in the world does that work? According to his power, not mine, according to his power that is at work within us. And of course, then Paul just gets overcome. To him be glory. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Then, having established the foundation of who we are and how we got there, now it's, okay, now what? Where do we go with this? Because we're still here. How are we supposed to live? Why are we still here? And all of those questions. So then he begins to describe how we're supposed to be with each other, the fact that we're one, and how God gifts people with different abilities, not so they can say, wow, look at me, but so they can serve one another. And so the whole body can grow up together to be just like the Lord. Okay? But then we come to the part that's just kind of come back to me a number of times recently. Because now it gets into, okay, so how do we actually live? What kind of lives are we meant to live? Verse 17 of chapter 4. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Now, what is that like? In the futility of their thinking. In other words, their minds are so geared to life in this world and the darkness that reigns here, and they think it's truth. They believe it. They believe it about the world. They believe it about themselves, and they just live that out. But it's futile. It's not going anywhere. There's no future in it. Okay? It's futile. Worthless is another word. They are darkened in their understanding. So you see where the problem is? You see where the problem is with them and how the devil has ruled over them? It's their thinking. Their understanding is darkened and separated from the life of God. So why is that? Because of ignorance that is in them. Oh, that's the problem. It's just ignorance. They just don't know, and all we have to do is tell them. Well, I wish it were that simple. Why are they ignorant? The ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That's the reason the world is in the condition it's in. It's not that they don't know. It's just that they rebel against what they do know. Whether that's just the voice of conscience or the voice of the gospel being proclaimed. I'll tell you, everybody, every man, woman, boy, or girl is going to be making a choice. Okay? And that's going to be the foundation of judgment one day. But anyway, so here's their condition. Their hearts have been hardened, and that produces this darkness, this ignorance, this wrong thinking. Having lost all sensitivity, this is where it goes. If you go down that road, they have given themselves over to sensuality. In other words, it's what my body wants. Sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. They just can't ever get enough. Okay, so that's a description of human nature, really. And Christians are, that's not how we're meant to live anymore. All right, it should be obvious, but it's not as simple as it sounds. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. That's the only source of truth, isn't it? Everything is contrary to what Jesus is and says is a lie, and you found your thinking on that, you're going to be going the wrong direction and having a lot of trouble. Okay? All right? In accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught. So what were we taught? You were taught with regard to your former way of life. Now, when's the life that he's talking about? Is that present or past? We've all got a past. Every human being has a past, okay? And I don't care whether you were a sinner and you're in prison somewhere or you grew up in church, we've all got a past.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.